A social worker and former sharer wants a nationwide coordinated approach so people in the sharing community can access health and social services. Serena Leiders says a survey she conducted showed sharers have needs that aren't being met.
In my experience, they're quite an unheard community. And just because of their work hours and they're transient and they're, you know, there's a whole lot of access to services that they don't get. What came back from the survey was that they wanted access to counselling, to addiction services, to parenting advice. Because they spend a lot of time away from their children working, they struggle to find the ways to parent their kids in the short amount of time that they had with them. Mostly it was around mental health, a lot of stuff around mental health. There's a big rainbow community in the sharing industry, and so there's very little support for that part of the community as well.
Whānau Ora navigators help identify people's needs and goals and then link them with relevant organisations. Serena would love to see navigators working with every sharing community. She'd also like to see them pool their talents with people from the sharing industry's health and safety programme, Tahi Ngā Tahi.
We've had a few conversations with them about how do we put that pastoral care, that spiritual health, that mental health, all of that stuff, so it's all together. So kids don't have to go looking for it. You've got all of these awesome initiatives. If they just talk together and create one platform, you know, that everybody can access would be amazing.
So if somebody is struggling with alcohol addiction or drug addiction and they are in a sharing gang, because of the hours they work and the locations, it must be quite difficult to access help.
Yeah, and because they're so transient as well, there's heaps of contributing factors. You know, they might only be in a place for 3 months and they've got to tell their story all over again, get a day off work to go. You know, all of it, there's so many factors that make it just too hard. So I've been working with some of the organisations around having late nights, you know, maybe have a clinic at the quarters. I know Alexandra and Milton are really good. They get nurses and doctors to come at night time, maybe once a month or once a every 2 months, to just to check for people to get their checkups and, you know, sexual health and, you know, smoking cessation and, you know, are the older men getting their checks. And people are trying. We just need a coordinated approach, I think, to being able to offer those services to everyone. You know, you're getting home. My son got home at like 7:30 last night because he was working in Kudo and he lives in Alexandra, 2.5 hours in the van on the way home. There's no GP open at that time of night. There's no chiropractors, there's no counsellors, there's no nothing. And I just want to change that a little bit. Try to anyway. People think only poor people have these issues. You know, people that don't work, but people working have them as well. Who knows? Who knows where we'll go? The potential is amazing. It's massive.
So you grew up in the sharing industry.
Yep.
So tell me about your career.
So I'm fourth generation in sharing. My sons are all sharers. My brother's a sharer. My brother's a world record sharer. And my father was a sharing contractor. So, you know, growing up in Ohi in Western Southland, sharing was really prominent in our community. And being raised in a wool shed right from very, very little, it's something that's part of my world. And I remember my dad saying to me, you know, if anything, anywhere you go in the world, if you know how to do this, you can get home. And that was his mentality about it, was that this is something that you can, a skill that you will have for the rest of your life. And I passed that on to my children.
What did you do in the sharing shed?
So I became a senior wool handler when I was 13.
13?
Yeah. Worked every holidays, as my sharers' kids did in those days. You took your kids to work, and it became part of living, working and living in the sharing industry was your lifestyle. It wasn't a job. So you took your kids to work, and so right from really young we were all working, all getting paid, you know. So I worked around Southland until I was, I don't know, about 18, I suppose, and then I went to Dannevirke and lived in Dannevirke for 12 years and worked for Pāwai Mullen Shearing and Clark Shearing and quite a few little contractors and stuff around there. I learnt to shear, started doing the shearing shows just for a little while when my kids were little. And then I decided to go to university.
What did you do there?
I went and trained to be a primary bilingual teacher. I wanted to help kids who, like all the kids that I grew up with, our parents were always at work, and so I wanted to be able to influence our kids to strive high and not to go into sharing, but if they were going to go into sharing, be the best sharer, be the best wool handler, see the world, do, like, the world is the oyster if they choose it.
So you worked as a teacher for a while?
No, so I trained as a teacher and I realised that I couldn't help kids the way I wanted to, so I went into social work and trained as a social worker. And I've been in the social sector for about 16 years now, 18 years, working in the community, doing all sorts of things actually. Addictions, I've worked with kids predisposed to addictions, youth justice, working with young mums, and then I went into whānau order navigation, and then to the commissioning agency. So I've done all sorts of things in the social sector.
When you were growing up in the sharing shed, what was it like? What was the atmosphere like, the tone?
I guess it was a real competitive space. You worked hard, you played hard, you know, there wasn't a time of just not going to work. Like, work was everything. You took your family with you, so, you know, everything you did involved going to the farm. Farmer is king. Your job is to get the best that you can for them, and so that mentality went right through all of the things that they did, and it was a different time. Like, the men were men's men, and the women did what they did, and everybody had their roles, and it was a great place to grow up as a kid. And I think, well, for me it was, because my dad was the boss, so, you know, people were a little bit different to me than maybe they would have been if my dad wasn't the boss.
And now, what's it like? How's it changed over time?
Interestingly, I had a conversation with a couple of girls last night about how when we were young girls in the wool shed, you know, you had the older ladies that looked after you. They stopped you doing dumb stuff. They instructed you. They mentored you. They looked after you. They become like your other mum and really helped you to make good choices in the environment that it was, of lots of drinking, lots of promiscuity, lots of kind of the darker side of the world. And they mentored you through that so you could, you know, be the kind of person that you wanted to be. And now I don't see that so much. There's a few that do mentoring and they do very well, but it's more a job than a lifestyle like it used to be. And so our kids are, or I say our kids, our young people are having a terrible experience at school. You don't go to school, you go to work, they end up in a sharing crew. And before they know it, they're in a van in Alexandra, or they're in Cromwell, or they're away from their families, away from their supports, away from the way their tikanga, the way their family works. It's free for all. There are no rules. And these kids are kind of, in my opinion, getting left to fend for themselves. And, you know, there's a few of our friends all kind of getting together to try and change that culture a little bit so our kids have got someone to talk to. The suicide rates of young Māori people are horrendous. And I just want to contribute to that so it stops happening.
So what are you doing?
I go around to the sharing shows and do traditional massage, and I'm a trained coach and mentor and counsellor and all sorts of things. So I spend quite a lot of time talking to young people. Toko Waiora in Melton, a few weeks ago we had a course for rangatahi that was funded by Primary ITO, and it was around mental health. It was around self-management. So we had, I think there was 20 young people from across Otago Southland, and we had Shearer's Superfly, Jimmy Samuels. We had Corny Roberts and Kieran Herbert and Tia Portai, and we did a whole heap of things. How do you read your payslip? How do you keep yourself physically safe? How do you, you know, look after your breasts with the wool? How do you keep your time sheets? How do you look after your body? You know, how do you drink enough water? All of those things that our kids don't get told anymore. So it was about trying to get these kids to see that they can travel the world, they can do amazing things, they can be world champions. You know, it doesn't matter what other people think, as long as they manage themselves well.
So they need strength, I guess, to say no
Yeah, you know, if you're organised, if you're planned, if you've got a bit of a plan of where you're going next, who you're going to work for, how do you manage yourself really well, you're stronger in yourself to be able to say, oh, no, actually, I've got work in the morning. I'll just have a couple of stubbies on my, you know, I've got to grind my gear.
What is drug and alcohol use like in the sharing industry?
I think it depends where you are and what kind of environment you're in. To be honest, all my life it's been everywhere. It's rampant within the industry. It's rampant everywhere, to be fair, working in the social sector. But it's almost a normal part of the day to have a beer after work. You've been slaving all day. And I think it's about that self-management of have, you know, a couple of stubbies, that's fine, but you don't need to drink till you go to work tomorrow. I think it's everywhere and they don't have access to the support. If they did want to not drink or not drug or whatever it is, I think the environment is changing. There's a lot more professional athletes in the industry now, and so instead of, you know, having too many beers after work, they'll go for a run or they're training for a record or the show season's coming, and so that professionalism is really starting to rise.
How well are you received when you're talking to these young sharers about the choices that they do have? Do they want to hear?
They're pretty good, actually. I guess my sons are all sharers, so they know my kids. And Tia Porta is like auntie to all of the young people in the whole industry. Everybody calls her auntie. And so they have these relationships. They were a little bit dubious with us when we told them we're going to do some breath work and a bit of yoga, and they're kind of looking at us like we're from another planet. But once they did it, they've seen how amazing they felt. And they did Mauraco, so they did Taiaha training with Tia's son, and that connection to culture was amazing. They just blossomed over 3 days. And I don't know that everybody would accept it as well as they did, but these kids just bloomed. Like it was beautiful. It was fantastic, and hopefully we can spread that across the country.
Serena Leiders from Tokanui in Southland.